Hello and welcome to There's a Walk for That. My name is Harriet Thomas and this is a show where we explore how you can turn just a walk into a practical tool to transform how you feel, think and look. From improving cardiovascular health and building fitness to reducing stress, boosting creativity, strengthening relationships and exploring new places, we cover everything walking. I bring you insightful interviews, fascinating research, and practical ideas that you can try for yourself, alongside evidence drawn from my own life as a woman who went from literally crawling across the floor with sciatica to celebrating her 60th birthday by walking 1,200 miles the length of Britain. Today, I'm the founder of the Walk Yourself Wonderful Online Academy, where I help midlife women go from feeling frazzled, fatigued, and out of sync with their bodies to feeling energized, calm, and fit for life. But this show isn't just for women, so join me as we discover just how much more a walk can do for us and how small changes to the way we walk can change the way we actually experience our lives, one step at a time. So welcome to this week's show. Over the course of the summer, I've often recorded my radio shows outside, sitting in my garden, because outside in nature is where I feel happiest. But today, global warming has finally given us a break, and the rain is pouring. That's the sound outside my window. So today, I'm taking the more usual step of recording inside. The show today is part of a series in which I've been exploring some very different ways of walking, because one of the ideas I keep coming back to on this program is that a walk is not simply a walk. You can change how you walk, where you walk, when you walk. You can change who you walk with. You can change your pace and your attention. You can even take a question out of the front door with you and walk with that question. And you can change what just a walk does for you. I call it becoming the walking alchemist in your life. You are the alchemist and walking is the skill. And as you learn to use that skill with a little more intention, you begin to realize that you can tweak an ordinary everyday walk to help create the outcome that you need. Whether it's feeling more calm, getting more energy back, finding a creative solution to a problem, or maybe just experiencing more wonder and more joy and happiness in your life. So last week, we explored the light bulb walk. And that's the walk you use when you're stuck on a problem, which is often my case when I'm here at my desk working. You're staring at a screen and you're trying desperately to find the answer. But research into walking and creativity suggests that getting up and moving can increase our ability to generate new ideas. Innovators like Steve Jobs, Albert Einstein, Charles Dickens were all famous for including a daily walk to support their creative thinking. So instead of sitting there demanding that your brain produce the perfect answer, try going for a walk. You can let the ideas come, you can collect them, and then you sit down afterwards and decide which ones are the keepers. Now, the week before the light bulb walk, we had a look at the stress buster walk. And this is such a crucial walk, especially in modern times, because in the stress buster walk, we deliberately combine slower movement, which can be so hard to do for those of us who are used to rushing around the place and trying to do things as fast as possible and squeezing an ever-expanding amount of things into our 24 hours. The stress buster walk asks you to do the exact opposite. Combine slower movement with nature and breathing and sensory attention to help shift us out of that constantly switched on state. And the destination of the stress buster walk is not really somewhere on a map. The destination is calm. If you like, the destination is this very moment, being in the moment. And for today, we're going to do something different again, because this week's walk, it's about something that we all need so deeply. It's about connection. And again, I think this walk, the connector walk, is something that especially in modern times when we can be rushing so much when we can spend so much time in front of a screen, where so many of our meetings are virtual, where we spend so much time indoors or in cars or in trains, not actually in the natural environment. It's so important for us, more important perhaps than ever before, to find a walk that can help us connect to other people, to ourselves, and to nature. So that is the connector walk. And I want to begin by asking you a question. So think about someone in your life that you feel really connected to. So it could be a partner, a friend, a work colleague, a sibling, your child, someone you've known for 40 years, or it could be someone you've only just met. Now think about some of the best conversations that you've had with that person. Where did they happen? Were you sitting opposite each other across a table? Or were some of those conversations actually happening while you were doing something together? So maybe you're driving on a journey. Maybe you're cooking, gardening, or of course, walking. Maybe you can remember setting off on a walk together with no particular intention of having a deep conversation at all. You're talking about the weather or what you're having for dinner or something someone said at work. But somewhere along that path, the conversation changes and you find yourself so freely and so openly talking about something that you hadn't planned to talk about at all. Maybe something that's been worrying you, something you've been thinking about, a decision you need to make, or a memory or a dream. And suddenly you've walked several miles and you have no idea where the time went. And I think many of us instinctively recognize that experience. There is definitely something about walking side by side that can make being together feel very different. It turns out that there are some really fascinating reasons why. Because humans literally fall into step. So here's something I absolutely love. When two people walk beside one another, their bodies can begin to adjust to each other. And we don't even notice that we're doing it. Nobody's saying anything. No one's saying, right, on three, let's synchronize our legs. We simply begin to do it naturally, intuitively. And researchers call this interpersonal gait synchronization. That's a very long and posh word for saying we simply walk together. So a 2021 systematic review looked across 16 studies and they examined what actually happens when people walk together. And again, researchers found evidence that people naturally adjust aspects of their gait in response to the person beside them. And it was really interesting because when I was looking at this research, it just so happened that that very day I had a walk planned with somebody. And so I was aware of this synchronization that we do. And as we started to walk together, I suddenly became aware of how I very imperceptibly changed my pace so that we were walking at a slower gait, which in fact was the gait of the partner that I was walking with. And I wouldn't have normally noticed it. It was only that I was aware that this is something that we do. But yeah, at the start of the walk, that's what I did, very, very imperceptibly and intuitively. I just changed my pace, changed my gait, so that I was walking at exactly the same pace and gait of the person who I was walking with. Even in experiments involving people who didn't normally walk together, synchronization emerged in a substantial proportion of trials. So it's not just about the pre-existing connection. It's something that we humans do. We long to connect, don't we? And our bodies actually do it for us before our minds actually catch on. We're going to move into a commercial break right now. So come back after the break because we're going to be talking about all the little synchronizations that we make so that we can be walking in sync with the person next to us.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Ah! your worst dreams aren't your enemy.
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. My name is Harriet Thomas and you're listening to There's a Walk for That here on UK Health Radio. And I'm sitting in my studio recording this program, but you may be able to hear the rain on my roof because it's absolutely pouring here in the UK, which is a very, very welcome break from the drought that we've had for the past 3 months. Now, before the break, we were talking about the connector walk and we were talking about this concept of synchronization, something that we do automatically and without thinking in order to connect with people when we are walking with them. So different ways in which our bodies begin to coordinate are our stride length, our timing, the rhythm and the pace. And you may have experienced this yourself, especially if you're walking beside someone who is significantly taller or shorter than you or has maybe a different fitness level. You may then notice how you make tiny adjustments. You might speed up or slow down. One of you shortens a stride. You negotiate the walk without ever verbally talking about it. Your bodies are having a conversation beneath any words that may be spoken at the moment. And that really matters because synchronized movement appears throughout human life. I mean, think about it. We clap together. That's something particularly you might do if you've got young children. We dance together. We sing together. We march together. Children play rhythm games. Crowds sway. Religious rituals often involve people moving or singing together. So this is something very, very human. And it speaks to our desire to become one, is the only way I can really put it, to merge our identity into something bigger, into a unity, into a cohesion, into a togetherness. And researchers studying synchronized activity have found links with things such as social bonding, cooperation, and feelings of affiliation. So there is something very powerful about moving from I am doing this to we are doing this. This is probably the first piece of the connector walk magic, because for a little while the boundary between me and you becomes slightly less important than the experience of us. If you really think about what's happening when you are taking a walk with somebody, we're moving in the same direction, we're synchronizing at roughly the same pace. We are looking at the same view. We are in the same moment in time. And think about the language that we use around relationships. For example, we're in step or we're out of step. We're moving in the same direction as opposed to we've gone our separate ways. It's really interesting, isn't it, how we use these walking metaphors to describe human connection. And it's something that has been woven into language for centuries. So maybe our language knows something that our conscious minds sometimes forget. And there's another level of this, which is walking and talking. And I'm sure it's something that we have all experienced, how walking with someone really allows a conversation to flow. So let's take a look at that. Because a connector walk isn't valuable simply because of our physical synchronization, because our feet and our bodies synchronize. It's also about how we position ourselves. So imagine I say to you, we need to talk. Like already, you might be thinking, oh my goodness, what's this about? Your stomach's like tightening. You're like, okay, something difficult is coming. And then picture the scene, like we're sitting opposite each other, face to face, we're eyeballing each other, I'm looking at you, you're looking at me. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes it is exactly what we need, and sometimes that can be such an intimate experience. But it can also feel very intense, particularly if the subject is sensitive. Okay, I've just been reading a trilogy of books about Alexander the Great, written by Mary Reno, and there was one scene in which Alexander the Great's army was kind of lined up against King Darius's army. And I was imagining this in my head. And I suddenly thought, of course, because when it's like two armies, they're fighting, right? So when we sit opposite each other, the language is there, isn't it? We are literally in opposition. We're not sharing the view, the physical view. We're not sharing a path. We're not moving together. We're literally just standing there in opposition. When we're walking side by side, we're both looking forwards. The conversation begins. But hey, there's also a tree that we might talk about, or a dog, or some traffic we need to negotiate, or a strange house, or someone's hydrangea, a child riding past on a scooter. The world is moving around us, and we are experiencing that world together, and the conversation has room to breathe. There isn't this demand for constant eye contact. There are natural pauses, and the silence doesn't necessarily feel like someone has failed to answer the question. We're just walking. Sometimes the words come and sometimes they don't come. And when something becomes emotional, there's somewhere else to look. As we talked about in the stress buster walk, when we're walking, our cortisol levels begin to drop. So with an emotion, we can literally walk it out and come back to a relaxed state of mind. And we all know that having a conversation in a relaxed state of mind is always going to bring a better outcome than when you're tense, emotional, angry, distressed. We're moving forward, we're looking at the trees, we're looking at the horizon. And instead of being positioned against one another, in opposition to one another, we're positioned alongside one another, heading in the same direction, synchronizing our steps. And that can be really, really interesting when you're trying to solve something together, because instead of you versus me, the experience can begin to feel more like you and me versus the problem, which is a very different starting point. It's a starting point of collaboration. It's a starting point of cooperation. And again, I'd love you to think about your own life. Have you ever found it easier to talk to a teenager, for example, when you're in the car, rather than sitting them down for a talk? Have you ever discussed something with a partner while walking and somehow managed to say what you couldn't quite say over dinner at home? Or maybe you've gone for a lunchtime walk with somebody from work and discovered far more about them in 20 minutes than you had in 6 months of meetings. So if you've had any of those experiences, you have basically already been using a connector walk. You just didn't give it a name and you perhaps weren't aware of it. Connection, though, is not just conversation. Sometimes we try far too hard to manufacture connections through words. Like, we ask people, you know, what are you feeling? Tell me what you're thinking. Let's talk about our relationship. You know, it can get very heavy and intense. But human connection also grows, and perhaps grows more naturally through what we do together. So when we're noticing things together, when we're discovering things together, when we're experiencing things together. When I'm thinking about a connector walk, I think about five different ingredients. And you don't need all five, but adding one or two can completely change the quality of an ordinary walk. So here they are. They're shared rhythm. So that's that synchronization we were talking about. Shared thinking, kind of moving in the same direction. Shared attention, sharing the same view, the same things that are happening on the walk. And shared novelty. So especially if you choose to do a new route or explore something different. And lastly, a shared challenge. And this is definitely something that I experienced when I was walking from Land's End to John O'Groats. When people joined me on the walk, or when I walked with other hikers, we had that shared challenge. Maybe if you've done the Camino, you've experienced this as well. The incredible bonding that happens when you're sharing a challenge that is out of the ordinary. So let's take them one at a time, starting with shared rhythm. This is, of course, something we've already talked about. It's simply walking side by side and that synchronization that occurs. But here's the important part. It's great to bring an awareness to this. And the more you know about how our bodies synchronize naturally, the more you can bring that awareness to your walk and actually make sure that that synchronization is happening, and maybe notice when it's not happening, because you might wonder, that's interesting. Why are we out of step? What are our bodies telling us in this moment? So it's a really, really interesting thing to be aware of. Don't kind of turn it into a route march. You know, you're not trying to force synchronization. You're certainly not staring down at each other's trainers, you know, to check whether your left feet are moving at precisely the same moment. It's just allow it, be aware of it, find a pace that works for both of you, and kind of notice what happens. It's that awareness piece. Does somebody constantly have to catch up? Is one person slowing down? Does your pace eventually settle? It's a metaphor for the relationships that are hidden inside. Because connecting with another human being continually requires some adjustment, doesn't it? It's what we call compromise. Sometimes I need to slow down. Sometimes you need to speed up. Sometimes I need to lead. Sometimes I need to follow. Sometimes we need to find a completely different pace that works for both of us. So your first connector walk experiment can be incredibly simple. It's just walk beside somebody and notice whether eventually you fall into step. So we're going into another commercial break now, but stay for the end, because afterwards we're going to be talking about shared thinking, which is where we combine some of what we discovered in last week's light bulb walk with the connector walk. So I'll see you after the commercial break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it. defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to me, Harriet Thomas, on There's a Walk for That. And today we're talking about the connector walk, how we can feel connected with people simply through walking. We've talked a lot so far about synchronizing our movements. Now let's talk about shared thinking, because this is where we combine some of what we discovered in the light bulb walk with the connector walk. Have you ever taken a problem on your walk? So it doesn't have to be a relationship problem. It might be, where should we go on holiday? What do we need to make this project work? How can we solve this problem at work? Instead of sitting around a table and immediately evaluating each other's suggestions, try walking while generating ideas. There's a lovely phrase I used for the light bulb walk, and it is walk to expand, sit to decide. So use exactly the same principle together. During the walk, you're not trying to win, you're not trying to prove whose idea is better. You're simply asking, what else? What else could we try? What haven't we thought of? You become collaborators, your thinking becomes divergent, and walking kind of gives the thinking somewhere to go. So the next thing to think about on a connector walk is that shared attention. And this one is perhaps very simple, but actually really impactful and really beautiful to do. It's simply about noticing something together. And I talk a lot about bringing awareness to the environment that you're walking through, which is why it's so important to walk in nature, because it's really easy to go for a walk and just not be able to get out of the thoughts that are circulating around our head. By directing your thoughts outwards to maybe a tree or a berry or a flower or simply the ground, you can start to notice the miracles that are around you, and you can actually start to remove yourself from the rumination in your brain. Try noticing something together. So maybe it's the autumn leaves beginning to change colour. We've certainly got that in the UK now. Maybe it's a tiny flower pushing through a crack in the pavement. So even if you're on a city street, you know, there's nature somewhere. There's nature everywhere. Look up at the sky. The sky is always there. Or maybe you listen to something. Maybe you hear the bird song, or you see some architecture or some street art. There's so many things out there to look at. You know, point it out. Share that view. Share that excitement. Share that adventure. You know, look at that. Those three little words can be really surprisingly powerful, because for a moment our attention moves outwards and we are no longer those two separate brains, each running our own internal commentary. We're sharing a moment with another technique that I've talked about, the wonder walk, which is when we start deliberately noticing the tiny, beautiful, extraordinary things around us, and something else happens where we're not simply sharing information, we're sharing appreciation. We're sharing an experience, an emotion. Like, look at the light on that tree. Listen to those birds. You know, and suddenly we've created a little moment that belongs just to the two of us sharing that walk. And the world around us hasn't changed, but we've both noticed the same tiny miracle. And now that is part of our shared story. And that kind of leads on to the fourth thing that we can think about on a connector walk, and that is shared novelty. The idea of walking or trying somewhere new. It doesn't have to be the Himalayas, right? You don't have to like book a ticket and take 2 weeks off work. Just try turning left instead of right. Explore a street you've never walked down, or try a new route. Go to a park you've never visited. Walk through a neighbourhood that you normally drive through. Or take a bus and walk back. That's a great one. I love doing that one. Explore a market. Oh, that's such fun to do. Follow a river. Even here in London, you know, where you think there's buildings everywhere. Of course, we have our rivers. We have, of course, the River Thames. and there's a beautiful path along the River Thames. But we've got lots of local rivers too, and most of them have walking paths along them. Like in Croydon, we have the River Wandle, which is a beautiful walking path along the river. So follow a river. Most towns have a water source, right? Have a look. Where is the water source? Where is the river in your town? Is there a path along it? Try following it. Just follow the river. It's so fun. Novelty gives you something to react to together. And again, you don't have to sit there desperately trying to think of something to say, because the environment does so much of the work for you. You can literally be like, oh, what is that? I didn't know this was here. I don't know how many times I've heard that, by the way, from people I walk with. I never knew this was here. I never knew this path was here. I never knew you could walk in nature so close to town. You know, there is so much to explore. When people explore together, they create shared memories. And the last thing is that shared challenge. Finally, do something together. Give yourselves a mission, like walk to the top of a hill or find 5 blue doors. It can be really fun. And this is such the nice thing about walking, is you can be playful again, right? You can be like a child. And there may be some of you who are listening and you've got very serious jobs, you're very important people, and maybe you think, playfulness, no, that I've left that behind. Well, my invitation is to bring it back again, because playfulness is where creative thinking lives, right? I don't know if you've ever played with a child, but they have so much creative thinking. And creative thinking, if you're in the world of business or in fact any profession, creative thinking is what gives you the edge. So be playful, you know, bring back what you might call a childish state of mind. So yeah, find your 5 blue doors. Reach a new viewpoint, or take 5 photographs of things that make you laugh. I mean, there's so many things you can do. How about go somewhere you've always said you're going to visit but never have? I have got a long list of those places. And it doesn't have to be physically challenging. It can, but it doesn't have to be. The important word isn't so much challenge. The important word is shared. Because again, the story shifts. Instead of I did this, it becomes, hey, do you remember when we did that? And those little shared stories are part of relationships are built from. In fact, probably those shared stories are really how we build our relationships. Now we're going to look at how we can use those techniques of the connector walk to maybe bring connection to a relationship that in some way might seem broken. You may be thinking, you know, Harriet, it really, really sounds lovely what you're talking about, but there's somebody in my life I just don't feel connected to at the moment. You know, maybe you've drifted apart, or life has become busy, or something's happened and, you know, you haven't actually dealt with the challenge that is between you. Maybe it's something really small, but not small, like who's doing all the cooking, who's taking the dog out, you know, that daily stuff that actually builds up. You know, that happens. Relationships exist in real lives. And real lives are very messy and they are very busy. I would resist the temptation to announce, we need to reconnect. Let's go on a connector walk. Don't do that. That sounds kind of weird. But, you know, just saying, hey, do you fancy a walk? That is probably going to be enough. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily arrive with 6 deep and meaningful questions that are prepared and that you feel you need to get through in your walk. But just allow the walk, have faith in the walk, have faith that the walk will do so much of the work for you, because connection doesn't necessarily require disclosure, right? Connection requires sharing. It requires collaboration. You might just walk together and laugh about something and come home feeling happier and more connected. You might notice something beautiful together. That's really enough. That counts. You might walk in silence for 10 minutes but feel so connected, because connection can be built through presence, not simply words. In fact, I would say presence maybe is even more important than words. And of course, one of the arenas in which we may feel quite a lot of challenge in our relationships is work. And I think the connector walk has a really fascinating application at work, because so many workplaces are currently wrestling with the question, how do we create connection between people? How do we break down those silos. Most organizations will have their team building days, their networking events, their away days. But they require a lot of organization, and they can be quite fraught as well with expectation. So sometimes the easiest thing might just be, hey, do you fancy walking around the block? Because think how differently a walking meeting can feel from sitting opposite somebody across a desk. You know, two colleagues can walk side by side. Hierarchies can feel less obvious. There's a shared environment. Again, that's sharing again. There's natural pauses. And instead of another hour spent staring at a screen, we're moving, which, by the way, is good for our stress levels and our musculoskeletal health, which, by the way, are the two biggest causes of absenteeism. So it's really helping with workplace well-being as well. You can explore the streets around your office, discover local businesses, a nice cafe, meet the neighborhood. You know, suddenly coming into the office isn't simply about occupying a desk that you could have occupied at home. It's about belonging to a place and connecting with the people in it. And you know, once again, a walk isn't simply a walk. It can become part of how we build community. I hope you want to try this now. So here's a challenge for this week. I want you to choose one person. So not necessarily the person that you feel closest to, but maybe somebody you'd like to know better, maybe a friend, a neighbor, a child, a parent, a colleague. Invite them for a walk. And choose one of the five Connect to Walk experiments. P.S. You don't necessarily need to tell them that you're doing this, but you can if you want. So the five experiments are: one, notice how or if you are falling into step. So it's just walk side by side. You don't need to force anything, but just notice whether your pace gradually starts to match. And notice how it feels when you find a comfortable rhythm together. So option two is that side-by-side conversation. Take something you've been meaning to talk about, and it doesn't have to be anything huge, but while you walk, talk and keep moving in the same direction. Notice whether the conversation feels different from talking face-to-face. So again, just bring that awareness to the conversation. How does it feel? Option three is the shared attention. Okay, during your walk, point out three things you may normally have walked straight past. You know, it could be something beautiful, it could be something funny, it could be something strange. But as you're walking, keep a lookout, you know, really notice what's happening around you. I promise you, you are going to find so much out there that you've never noticed before. And I always get an amazing sense of like abundance and wonder, which is why I call it this activity, the wonder walk, when I do this. Because I can walk five steps out of my door and already I'm like, oh my goodness, look at that brick. Or it could be absolutely anything. There is just so much wonder out there. So the fourth idea is to explore together. So walk somewhere neither of you knows particularly well, or just take a different turning, walk around the path the opposite way. It's amazing what a difference that makes. If you always go around one way, go around another way, things look different. become tourists in your own neighborhood. And the last one is a challenge, and it could be a mini challenge. Just give yourselves a shared mission. It's so, so fun. You know, as I said before, reach the top of the hill or find five beautiful things, you know, whatever it is for you, complete a particular distance. And, you know, you can talk about it, right? Like, did we talk differently? Did we laugh? Did we notice more? Was silence easier? And do I feel a little more connected than I did when we started? And, you know, it's not like having a dramatic breakthrough. As I always say, dramatic breakthroughs are the result of daily habits, not overnight transformations. So, you know, don't go on a connect walk with someone, then come back and be disappointed that you're not the best bosom buddies in the whole world. It's just like, how did we connect? It's noticing, it's awareness. You know, this is how connection is built, through tiny moments, through conversations and shared jokes and paths explored. And it's those tiny moments that accumulate. So if you've had a really fun connector walk, don't forget to take another one and then another one and then another one. Make it part of your weekly schedule. So I began today by saying that when two humans walk together, something really lovely happens. Without instruction, our bodies may begin to adjust to one another. We literally start falling into step. But the bigger idea is this, that we can fall into step emotionally too. Not by like demanding connection or trying to discuss the ins and outs and everything, sitting opposite each other and thrashing through every aspect of an argument, but by simply going somewhere together, walking somewhere together, moving in the same direction, sharing that synchronization, that rhythm, sharing a view, sharing that experience, because we know relationships are not built only through what we say, they're built largely through what we do, right? What we notice, what we discover, what we overcome, what we experience together. And so sometimes the first step towards feeling closer to somebody really can literally be a step along the path. So this week, try your connect walk and remember what I've been saying throughout this series. You are the walking alchemist. The walk is your raw material. So change the ingredients and you change the outcome. A walk is not just a walk. It can be a tool for our bodies and our minds and our relationships and ultimately for the way we actually experience our lives. So I hope you have enjoyed this show. I hope I've given some value to you and some practical tips that you can use in your own life. Please go and try a connector walk. My name again is Harriet Thomas. I'm founder of the Walk Yourself Wonderful Academy. You've been listening to There's a Walk for That here on UK Health Radio. So until next time, happy walking.